I once worked with a business consultant that said I shouldn't use the word embodied in my title. Their explanation was because it was confusing and people don't actually know what embodied means. Now, I took that advice and dropped the word embodied from my name, all the while knowing that embodiment is the crux of the work that I facilitate. And it didn't feel great for me to drop it from my title. Now, that was Elise 1.0, by the way, the one that was toxically people-pleasing as a protective output. And I have so much reverence for her, but this is no longer the case. And so in true form, Miss Virgo over here had to understand why embodied might be an off-putting word. So I went down the rabbit hole. I thought of the definition of embodiment to begin with, which is the representation or expression of something in a tangible or visible form. Well, to me, that seems pretty clear, but I get that it might not be front of mind for everyone. And so I dug deeper. I surveyed a cross-section of my current clients and my social media followers and even friends and family members, and I heard a lot of different ideas around what embodiment meant to them. Everything from feeling sensation in their bodies to having a greater sense of freedom as they make their way through the world. And I came to be reaffirmed that I didn't need to drop the word embodiment from my title. Rather, I needed to redefine it and define it for myself and share that with the world. And so back it came. Voice, an embodied life and leadership coach, was back on the title card. Stick around for this episode to hear about how I define embodied leadership and why I think it's important, and most importantly, how it has the potential to support your life and work in ways that you might not have otherwise imagined. This is the Embodied Leader Podcast, and I'm Elise Bessler, and I'm really happy to have you here in community with other badass, curious, and ready to be embodied leaders. The coaching industry is changing, my friends, and it's changing for the better. And this podcast and the Embodied Leader programs are at the forefront of that change. And that point is important, that we're on the forefront of that change over here, because sometimes being on the forefront of change means we need to educate and redefine things for folks, especially if the concepts aren't widely known or widely understood. Or if our nervous systems tell us to run away from that which is unknown. Now, I define embodied leadership as nervous system literacy, which is the awareness of felt safety and felt sensation from the nervous system level in our bodies and those we lead, so for ourselves and for others. And it's also the ability to be able to navigate life and leadership with that in mind so that we create cultures of safety instead of cultures of fear. Now, I talk about nervous system literacy a lot. I would say I'm kind of always forever dancing between wanting to share how much nervous system literacy has changed my own life and leadership, and also not wanting to dysregulate you all because I'm talking about my nervous system so much. It's a fine line. I kind of giggle about that a little bit, but it's real. It's a real experience. See, not everyone is ready to be embodied. Not everyone is ready to feel sensation or to understand their own nervous system. And that's because it's not safe for everyone at any given moment. Even feeling safe isn't safe for everyone. Ironically, being an embodied leader means that we have the capacity and ability to be able to see that in others. So today, I wanted to share the principles of embodied leadership with you so that you have the info at the ready for when you are ready to hop on the change bus and to receive the radically compassionate support that's offered here at the Embodied Leader. So far in my own discovery and work, there are 5 principles of embodied leadership. Number 1, you first. Learning about your own nervous system first is the way through to creating and holding coaching and leadership containers that center consent, felt safety, and lived experience, both for you and the people you support. Without self-regulation at a nervous system level, we can't co-regulate, and that means that felt safety is less likely at the embodied level of the people we serve. Daily nervous system practice is vital to our ability to rewire the protective outputs our brain has created to keep us safe. This daily practice is the only way, and I mean the only way, we can truly regulate our nervous system. Number two, do no harm. When we're self-regulated, we can see others in their own nervous system state and we can better co-regulate with them, as I mentioned before. So that means we can use our own nervous system state, our breath, our presence, our body language to allow them to feel that felt sense of safety. I can't stress the importance of this enough. If you're a coach, you are a leader. People look to you for support. And when we meet those people as is and welcome them into our judgment-free spaces, the likelihood of them feeling safe to make change is greater when we view our work through this lens. So the opposite of this is when we aren't regulated and we can't see how our own actions can cause further harm to them as they seek out a safe space. Number three, slow burn. Embodied leadership isn't a tips and tricks list, and it's not a two-hour workshop. It's an ongoing process that requires time and space to develop. We're also unlearning and repatterning our own protective outputs from our own life experiences. And if we don't offer permission for ourselves to be evolving in this work, we also aren't giving our body wisdom a chance to send our brain signals of renewed safety. Embodied leadership happens in increments, small glimmers that eventually become new patterns and ways of being. Number four, use compassion, both for yourself and others. This in itself is a challenge, especially if we're working on our own self-compassion and self-love journey. Now, I don't make any promises in my work, but I do offer that self-compassion and compassion for others is much easier when we understand principle number one, which is nervous system literacy and how to regulate. When we are regulated and we are nervous system literate, seeing our nervous system as wise and adaptive and protective, it really becomes the definition of self-compassion. And finally, fifth, leave them better than when you found them. This goes without saying. Embodied leaders walk away from their sessions, workshops, and conversations knowing that they've done everything in their power to show up regulated and to listen and believe others in their life experiences, and then to respond to them from a place of care and consideration for the other person's nervous system. Even if the work we do with them is deep, they leave the container feeling resourced and shrouded in safety exercises at a nervous system level. This principle is how we cause less harm. So five so far. Do you have any you'd like to share? I'd love to hear from you. If these principles are intriguing to you and you're interested in diving deeper into your own understanding of your own embodied leadership, consider joining me in the Embodied Leader Incubator this fall. That's 2023, by the way, depending on when you listen to this episode. This three-month program is a judgment-free, radically compassionate educational space for you to up-level your life and leadership from the nervous system level. That's the operating level of your body, by the way. So click the link in the show notes for all of the info, and there's also a link on that page to book a discovery call with me if you have any more questions. Please consider dropping a review or a 5-star rating of this podcast if that feels aligned for you. We love to get the good word of this good work out to the good people that it would support, and I would be grateful for your support in that way. See you next time on The Embodied Leader.